Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and you know I get excited every Tuesday. I'm like a kid waiting on Santa Claus. So, and the reason why is that I have the absolute honor and privilege of presenting to you the world's best experts and masters in their chosen fields, and they have all agreed to come and to share with you, the audience of Life, Love, and Wellness. So I get excited to be able to introduce to you and to be able to share what they're doing. You know, there's a very limited number of folks that are celebrated for their wisdom and their gifts that they have to share. So I'm in the trenches, wanted to shine the spotlight on everybody else, right? So hang in there with me because I'm still working on it. And tonight is no different, man. You guys are going to love our guest tonight. However, let me slow down just a tiny, tiny little bit. So there's a couple of things that we got to do before we get into the show. The first thing that we do is we make sure to pay honor and respect and homage to our ancestors, to all ancestors for paving the way for us, to holding us up in these times where we may not be so sure of our movements, of our confidence in our abilities to do things, but trust and believe the ancestors got us. Especially on Tuesday nights, because we can wind up talking about a little bit of anything right here, and the ancestors know that it's time for a truth. Thank you, ancestors. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Whew, okay, they got me going. You know, they always rev me up first thing in the first part of the show, and I am thankful to them. Yes, I am. So the next thing, action that we take is now releasing our worries and concerns for today and going to a very meditative state with my daily inspirational messages. And the one that I've chosen to read for today is called Forgiveness. And I'm only going to read a small part of it because I really want to bring Lydia on. She has so much to share with you, but if you would like to read the full content of this daily message, just go to revsandy.wordpress.com. And again, the name of this selection is called Forgiveness. To forgive is to release totally the person and the situation. Maybe that someone is you. Have you been beating up on yourself for not being smart enough or not stopping a habit you think you need to? Do you think less of yourself because you do not weigh a certain amount? Not having that college degree feels like a handicap. Have you accepted something that you heard and believed about yourself that is weighing you down? Well, hold the vision of complete surrender. Allow the person and the situation to be free of your attachment to it. It does not serve you in any helpful way. Release it now. Let it go forever, never to be remembered by you again. If it pops back into your memory, release it again and again and again. And so we're going to forgive, 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 and forgive again. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's all about life. It's all about love. And it's all about wellness. So tonight we're talking about free land for sale. And again, we're featuring author Lydia Y. Pope Burton. And man, just wait. Just wait. But hold on, because there's a couple things we got to do. Audience, you know, you're always welcome to be a part of the discussion. And our intention, if you wish to be heard, we want you to be heard on the radio with us. So our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And to speak live on air with us, you must push the 1 on your dial. You can't just call the number and think that you're live because you're not. It takes one more step, and you got to push the 1. I get complaints that they had a person had something to say, and I never recognized them. But I don't know until you push that 1 that you want to speak live, so you can call in and just listen, and that's good, right? So to ensure the best quality of playback, though, because some of our regular listeners do not stay up until 9 p.m., and they like to come back, and some of our listeners like to listen to the shows over and over again. So once your line is open to talk live with us, if you're not speaking, please mute your phone on your end. That will lessen any possibility of playback. The mics are extremely sensitive, and they pick up every sound in the background. So if you would do that, that's all. I appreciate it very much. And if you would like to listen to any of the shows, even this one, again, you would just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's S-A-N-D-Y-R-O-D-G-E-R-S. Whew. Once again, thank you for being with us. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So we're going to take a quick music break, and when we come back, it is going to be my pleasure to introduce to you our speaker of the night. So just sit back, take you a glass of water, get you and get your ink pens ready, because you may want to take some notes on this one. All right, we'll be right back, you guys.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, because they built your muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop.
You know, them sisters there, boy, they be having me rocking it out, and they say, go get your blessing, right? Go get it. Go get it. And that's exactly what Ms. Lydia is going to talk to us about, but give us just another minute. Thank you for listening to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. I am so thankful that you're here with us tonight. If you would like to ask Miss Lydia any questions or compliment her on the work that she's doing or whatever and would like to come on and speak live on the show, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And remember, you must punch the one on your device. So welcome back. And I'm so thankful that you're here with us tonight. So our show tonight is called Free Land for Sale. And we have the honor of featuring the well-known artist, our author, Lydia Y. Pope Burton. And I met Lydia face-to-face for the first time last Saturday, who quickly corrected me when I said she was a disabled veteran. She's like, no, I am an abled veteran. So abled, remember that, right? So Lydia knows all too well the value and meaning of life and living present moments, searching for the most impactful way she can make a contribution to the learning process. She chose to write a masterpiece in stage play screen style to tell a story of Black history in the United States. She combines many topics, yet some of the most pronounced are race, politics, and religion, a hot trio. The passion to write found her, she proclaims, as she sat undergoing dialysis. Her source of material was found in the classrooms consisting of various conversations with the students. So her debut book, Free Land for Sale, is very well written and provides an incredible amount of truth and wisdom from a sage. And that's another thing that you're going to come to appreciate and recognize, how Lydia has this uncanny wisdom, the wisdom of a sage. So when was the last time someone discussed Billie Holiday or Dorothy Dandridge in a classroom? Christian and his 8 students embark on various controversial topics, such as political views and social views. These topics are often considered taboo. That's exactly why Christian wanted to tackle these subjects in his adult continuing education class. Are we openly ready to discuss and agree to disagree? There is always more than one way to see a situation. Tempers will rise and personalities will show truth. Life is not just about your perspective. Open your mind to other possibilities and experience. That is the introduction to the book, Free Land for Sale. And it is my honor to introduce to you one of my newest friends, Mrs. Lydia Pope Burton. Miss Lydia, you over there?
I'm here. Hi.
Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me, Reverend Sandy. I really
appreciate
it.
That's an honor. Look, your book, man, you write on it. You write on it. And it tells the story from such a different perspective. And, you know, you've heard me say time and again that we got to be about the business of telling our own stories. And so I appreciate the fact that you took it, you know, like not from me, but from something inside of you to address it from that perspective, you know, from telling the truth from your eyes, from what you see or what you would like to be a part of our story that's classified there in the Library of Congress so that, you know, our future generations will know that there was other voices to tell our history as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And that was the purpose of trying to be as truthful as possible in this book. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, the Harriet Tubman, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, different prominent and important blacks in our history. But there are so many out there that you really don't hear that much about. So I just wanted to open up the classroom in the book discussing people that you don't hear that much about now. You know, like you said, Billie Holiday, Dorothy Dandridge, Paul Robeson. Just wanted to kind of touch on different people. And I wanted to make sure the students in the classroom were totally different, had totally different backgrounds, so you can kind of get a feel for how they would see different situations and how they were able to voice their concerns and at the end reach a consensus on, okay, well, I might not 100% agree with you, but I understand now. And I wanted it to be shown that our history is easy to discuss, is easy to accept, just like anyone else's history. We just have to open our minds and our hearts to receive it. And some of it's painful. All of history has painful parts to it. So we just have to accept it for what it is, for the truth that it carries, and just, you know, apply it where need be and just, you know, move on with it. So I'm real excited about this book. I'm so proud of it. It was a labor of love for sure. It took about 14 years to complete because I really didn't publish a book. It started all kind of as a hobby, just something to do, something to distract me. I was working initially when I first started with it. And, you know, when you reach a certain age, you get to a point that you really don't want the nonsense in the workplace, you know.
I don't know about that.
Well, you get to a certain point, you don't want to deal with the nonsense. And, you know, work environments can trigger different things, right?
Yes,
so I wanted to make sure I was staying busy, doing my breaks, doing my lunches. And so I just started sitting one day. I don't even know where it came from at that particular time, how I came to this subject, because I was actually writing four at the same time. I'd write a little bit on this one this week and a little bit on that one next week, and just continued through it. And then while I was on dialysis, I just continued it. I would edit and reread and research. And while I'm sitting on the machine, because I had a personal thing, where I never wanted to go to sleep on the dialysis machine. And so that kept me occupied for those 4 hours, 3 days a week. I would sit and I would write or type or whatever, and just, you know, piece by piece, it just came together. And then I shared it with my husband and shared it with a couple of amazing cousins that I have. And they liked it, and they started saying, you know, maybe you ought to move forward to get it published.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't know about that. It was just a hobby. It wasn't anything, you know, but you ought to try. You ought to try it. And so when I pushed it through, like I told you the other day, when we got the box in the mail from the publisher and I opened the box, excited, I was elated. That was that was my winning moment.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd be on the Sandy Rogers Show talking about it. I didn't see that big. See, I had such low vision for myself, you know. And evidently, God had something else in store, and it's just growing and continuing, and just it's just amazing to me. I'm in awe with how things are moving right now. I'm so proud and excited that people are enjoying it and that people really get it. They really get it. But you remember I told you the other day I wanted to mention one key thing. Free Land for Sale is the title of the book, but the book has nothing to do with land. That was supposed to get your attention. It's supposed to make you think. But once you read it, you'll see where it all kind of tie in together with how the land God gave us all was free for us all. And at some point, as we touched it and evolved as we think we did, everything now is for charge. There's nothing for free. Not the water you drink, not the air you breathe, not the fruit and vegetables you eat. Nothing's for free anymore.
Right.
Because I've had so many people that have been reading it lately, and they were like, I didn't see anything in the book about the free land. I was looking for that free land.
Well, at least you got them. You know,
I got them.
Yep, you got them. That's cool. But, you know, you made up your interesting point, and I wanted to ask if you would expound on it a little bit more. You said that all parts of history are painful, and so why do you think our part is so painful, or do you think it's more or less, or are you trying to qualify it like that, or are you just saying all parts are
Well, I mean, all parts have painful history, all parts of our history, not our as in just black African-American history. I mean, all history, period. There are painful parts to it. And oftentimes we only want to receive the pretty and the nice parts of history. But we've got to receive all of it because all of it is still relevant. So we can't sugarcoat and pick and choose what pieces we want to share and what pieces we want to keep on the back burner. We've got to share it all.
For sure, for sure, because then we don't get the true picture.
Exactly.
And I like how you did that with your characters, man. Because for me in reading it, it was like I was right classroom, you know, like – I knew that person and that person. Oh, yeah, that's that one right there. You know, they don't know. But then you saw a change in a willingness to accept and to begin to understand. And I'm sure that would be such a monumental place for us to get to as a community, you know, all working together and at least wanting to accept and to understand the other person's perspective or viewpoint.
Right. That's the point exactly. That's what I wanted people to get out of it. That's what I wanted them to be able to receive, to see that I might not agree with everything that you say, but I can accept it to a certain point. As long as you deliver it in a respectful way, it can be received. You know, it's not always just what you say, it's how you say it. So you need to make sure that, you know, even in your truth, that you be respectful in your delivery. You know, so I just wanted different backgrounds. You know, you might have a drug dealer. You might have a single mom. You might have, you know, someone who's related to the Ku Klux Klan, whatever. But at the end, I want you to sit down because we're all more similar than we are alike if we take the time to really receive each other and not always approach every situation with our point of view only. You know, that was one thing. See, I was in the military as well. That's where I met my husband. And you learn quickly. If you have to go to war, you don't care what the person looks like who's sitting beside you, who's in that foxhole next to you. You just want them to have your back.
Okay.
So even though you might not be crystal clear on their full background, you trust them to have your back in that moment. So that's what you have in common with them, that moment. So sometimes we have to receive people in that moment. I don't care if you've been to prison. I don't care if you've been sick. You know, I don't care if you're a minister or you're not a minister. You haven't been to church in years. There are parts of us that we are able to receive one another from a place of similarity. You just seek that similarity in each person. And you can find it if you really open yourself up for that. So that's kind of what I wanted to express in this, you know. And, you know, I don't know, but I don't know where I got it from, but back in the day, I remember hearing that, you know, there are three topics you do not discuss at the dinner table, at a party or a dinner party or whatever with people you are not familiar with.
Yep.
And you mentioned that earlier. That's religion, racism, and politics.
That's right.
Because you might find out about something about that person you weren't prepared to find out about if you're not in a private setting with them sometimes. So that's why I chose those three topics to discuss in this classroom with these students to try to bring them closer and helping them with the ability to have those conversations, those tough conversations. And you know, some of them got pretty heated saying,
yeah. It's a great, it's very, very well written. So how did you pick the characters? Was it from like your experience in the military or from your work experience, your growing up? How did they come about?
Well, the names were just random names. Just pick the name. The personalities could have echoed people I've met over the years, or it was just the type of personality I wanted to make my point in the book.
Okay.
You couldn't have everybody agreeing and getting along perfectly. You couldn't do that. So I had to make personalities to reflect, you know, discomfort, difficulty, and confusion. I wanted that to shine through initially with some. So I can't say it's anybody I know personally or mm-hmm. have met personally, because, you know, over the years of the military and different jobs, and different, you meet all kinds of people. So I can't say that it's anybody in particular. You know, but even though the names might, you know, sound like it's someone that you might know, but it's just random names I just picked.
No, so. I like the mixture of people. It's very well, you know, because like no one was there by themselves. You know, they at least had one person that they could relate to that, you know, may stand up for them, you know, in a tight situation or something. So it, right. It wasn't like that. I was just wondering because you had such a nice variety of individuals. I mean, just very well thought out. That's why I was asking you, you know, like how did you develop those characters? So.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah.
No, just random names. And I, you know, you and I talked before, like, why did I write it in screenplay or script format?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just easier for me to keep the personality separate because I wanted each personality to be very distinctive and easy to identify. And one thing I could hear from different people, as they continued to read the book and progressed in the book, they would say, Lydia, I didn't have to look at the name anymore. I knew exactly who was saying that.
Yep.
And I went to the doctor the other day, and one of my doctors was saying, Lydia, I was so mad at Kyla. I had to put that book down for a while. She made me so angry. She got used to her personality, and that's what I wanted. Another cousin just sent me her, because she was like, girl, Amanda got on my nerves, you know. She says, I'm still trying to figure her out. She said, I think you might need to do a number two so I can find out what happened to all of them once they reach that part of maturity, what happens after that. Well, I'm not that far with it yet, so I don't know whether there's going to be a number two or not.
It was so well written, though. You know, like, it really did keep your interest. And for me, I guess I'm still at the part of making sure that I know which, you know, which character is who, you know. And but even in the very beginning, as you're reading, you know, you kind of know who's who, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but to get to that part, like you're just talking about with, you know, with your friends and stuff, that's where I want to be, you know, like just read the lines and not even have the name next to it and see if I can figure out who it is. But
I know exactly who that is.
Yeah. That's so cool, though. That's so cool.
So I'm really, really, really excited about it. And I hope it continues to catch on, because I really would like to see it at some point in time on a big screen somewhere. And in my mind, I already have in my mind who could play what character.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I already have in my mind who could play what character. And so that's kind of where I was when I finished it. Now I'm on book two, so I'm trying to get it wrapped up. So, you know, we're just moving forward with it. I just never saw things taking a turn like they have at this point. I'm just a dialysis patient sitting on the machine trying to figure out what to leave. To leave my mark aside from people thinking about my sickness all the time.
Wow.
You know,
look at that. Yeah.
Because I've been dealing with dialysis on and off for 30 years, with kidney failure for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And at some point, I reached a point to say, well, you know what? I don't want that to be what people remember me for.
Indeed.
Or think that that's all that I am. That's not all the situation that I'm dealing with. Like we talked the other day, I was saying, you know, when I reached a certain point where I started thinking, you know, this is my vice. This is what I have to deal with. It's not a curse. It's not anything that I should hang my head about. You know, it could have been anything. Before we all leave here, we're all going to have a vice. That's in order to leave, you're going to have something that's going to happen to you, right?
Right, right.
So once I kind of resolved myself to think, well, my vice is kidney, is renal disease. It could have been cancer. It could have been MS. It could have been Alzheimer's. It could have been a number of things. And who knows what else could happen. But right now, that's what I have, but that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make sure I show that even in the midst of that, God can use you to do anything, multiple things, everything. You just have to be open to just try. You can't sit in your minute of pain or sickness and let that define your entire life.
Mm.
And that's not what I want it to be. And, hey, I went took my mom to the doctor today, and I was sitting talking with the lady, and she's just talking to me, just a regular random conversation. And she said she was on dialysis. She had both her legs amputated. We go to the same, one of the same doctors and everything. And so I was telling her that I go to a renal clinic. And she looked at me, and she made a comment like, you know, you work there? I'm like, no, I'm a patient there. She's like, a patient? I said, yeah. I said, I've been a patient on and off on dialysis for 30 years. She was like, what? Wow, well, that's good. And that's what I want. I don't want people to look at me and see what I've been through.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want them to know unless I tell them. You know, so.
That's such a beautiful way to live your life. And I had a real close girlfriend. Well, it's been some years back now, but she was diagnosed with cancer, and you know, she'd have her good years and her bad years, and you know, bad years and then good years. And I remember toward the end, just like you just said, I just felt like I would want to just talk to her about the illness, like how you doing, what's the complication. I didn't want to do that. So I would call her, and at first I was like, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, you know. But I would act so silly with her like we always had done, you know, and just tell her all kind of craziness, you know. And she would just be laughing. She'd be like, oh, only you could do something. Only you would do something like that, you know. And talking about some of the actions that I would tell her about, the situations I have found myself in and stuff. And so she was older than me, so she'd always laugh like, oh, Lord, there's my little sister. There she go again. And at one point in time, she made that statement to me. She said, do you know of all the people that I talk to regularly, you are the only one that does not restrict their conversation to me about my illness. She said, as a matter of fact, you never even bring it up. She said, that's why I love talking to you. And that was when I got an appreciation, Lydia, of how important that is, because we can treat people as if they're already gone, you know, by just talking about, you know, the illness. Well, hell, you had more than that from the very beginning. Why not go back to those things that brought you together as friends, you know, and just celebrate life? So thank you for saying that.
Oh,
that's an important part that I don't think a lot of us get, you know.
And it really is. Your village is the glue that holds you together when you're dealing with something. You know, when you're dealing with no matter what the condition is or the illness is, sometimes that village can either prop you up or they can help keep you down with you, with them constantly reminding you how sick you are. When I tell people,
you know, I've had over 30 plus surgeries. I've been in the hospital over 40 plus times.
Wow.
And then they look at me and they're like, wow, you know, we don't see that. And I don't want you to see that. I don't want you to see that. I don't want woe is me every time I see someone. I want you to talk to me about what's going on with, you know, life and health over me.
Right.
Don't remind me of how sick I have been, because I know that. I live through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband and I, my parents and I mean, you know, we've been there through a whole lot of this. So I don't want to have a conversation about that every time. However, now I don't mind talking to people about my experience, because oftentimes in the African-American community, we are afraid of dialysis, but we are the highest percentage of dialysis patients.
Right.
So I want people to see me and see that, you know, I've heard people say, I don't want to go on dialysis. I'd rather die first. You know, I want them to see, like, I've been dealing with this 30 years. I had a cousin on my husband's side that was on it. She was on it probably about 40-plus years, I think. And, you know, you can live if you choose to live and fight to live, do what you're supposed to, take your health seriously. You can. But for me, what works is keeping my mind off of just that.
Mm-hmm.
Occupy making jewelry, doing whatever else I have to do to keep my mind off of just that. And I have an amazing village that helps to do that. So I don't have time to sit around thinking about, oh, I got dialysis again tomorrow. I got to go over there and sit for 3.5 hours again. What am I going to do? While I'm sitting on dialysis, I'm playing games on my phone. I'm checking another book. I'm doing research on my next book. I'm doing all kinds of things where I'm not just sitting there, because if you just sit in that space and look around at the patients, some at different phases of their illness, some are extremely ill, you know, and you, if you sit and you just watch that and you just feed into that all day, you'll absorb that into your spirit.
Okay.
And that's what I don't want to do. My husband and I were talking earlier today about when I first started dialysis, and I was just getting out of the military, and I just got the news, you know, that I'm going on dialysis. I was 21 years old. I didn't know what really dialysis meant. I didn't know what that meant, what all that entailed.
Uh-huh.
And starting off, I was extremely sick. But I asked a lot of questions because I started noticing stuff. I didn't know about it. So I asked questions. And I remember one of the nurses one time asked me, she said, I can tell you were in the mentioned to me, she said, I can tell you were in the military because you asked a lot of questions. So I'm thinking, this is my life. This
right.
is my body. I should be asking questions.
Yeah.
So then I started paying attention to my other brothers and sisters. And I'm like, nobody's asking any questions.
Mm.
You just trust in every move they make, every action they make. Ask them. I can just about run my own machine. I can hook my own self up. I know what the buzzers mean. I know what's most comfortable for me. And I'm involved in it. So much so now the nurses don't make any changes to my machine without asking me.
Good.
They don't give me any medication without telling me what they have. I'm like, don't walk over here and just shoot medicine into my IV line. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me what it is.
Right.
And so now they're used to that, and they do. And I'm looking around. My brothers and sisters sleep. They don't know. They just got some medicine shot into the machine. They don't have a clue what it is. You know, I was like, we've got to be a little more alert. We've got to pay closer attention to our health, you know. And
so is that the reason why you don't go to sleep, Lydia?
That's exactly why.
Okay.
I want to
know. I have a friend that, and when he told me, it really just kind of caught me off guard. But now I understand. He said that they would come in whenever he had to go into the hospital. He's a veteran as well, and they would come in with something already in the syringe, and they'd be wanting to put it. And he's like, oh, no, uh-uh. You go squirt that out somewhere, and then you come to me with a fresh needle and a fresh bottle of medicine. You let me see what it is that you're putting in that syringe before you're going to shoot it in me. And I was just like, that's a little obsessive, you know, but it makes sense, though, you know.
It really does. I've been a patient in the hospital, and the nurses, you know, might come in and have the medicine for the patient next door, not even my medicine.
Wow.
You got the thing I did. Well, when I wrote the book, I initially created some online pages to try to promote my book, right?
Uh-huh.
Then people start asking me questions about dialysis, the process, the illnesses that come with it, what I've gone through. So I start using that platform to talk about some of the things I've experienced while I was on dialysis. And now
okay.
I'm hearing people say, well, I didn't know that. I think that's what my grandmother had, or that's what my aunt had, and I didn't even know that's what it was.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, and so I start posting videos. I have a YouTube channel, and I start posting videos about getting on the transplant list, getting a part of becoming a part of the paired donors program, where you can get a family member, or it doesn't have to be a family member. It can be a complete stranger
mm-hmm.
who might be willing. There are different organizations that have programs designed to match you up with someone who has either always wanted to donate, or someone want to help a vet, or someone want to help a child, or whatever. So I started going on using that platform to tell people about the different avenues that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we don't know what we don't know.
Right.
And you have people not just sitting on dialysis, but I wanted people to know the importance of getting your diabetes under control, to take that hypertension seriously. You know, taking care of your feet, you know, neuropathy and different things. I wanted them to know, because there's so many other illnesses that parlay off of that into something more serious.
Right.
So
right.
I try to talk about it. And then when people start saying, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a program that would give you funding to help your family if you have that condition. I didn't know that. I'm like, we got to start sharing stuff with one another.
That's true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because my sister was on dialysis for a number of years, and I don't think she had the same drive that you did as far as wanting to know, you know, what medicines and things like that were being injected, because she would just take whatever they gave her, you know, mm-hmm. as far as pills go and things like that. And I believe she was on so many of them, it just kind of took over her body, you know, all those chemicals and stuff. But she went to that dialysis, and she would stay awake, and she knew enough to tell them, you know, oh, that's enough. You've drawn off too much now, or, you know,
right.
you're at the max and stuff. I didn't really know, you know, like what she was talking about. But whenever I went to California, I would always go with her because I wanted to know, you know, exactly what it was, and her daughters and grandchildren would go with her as well, you know. So that's a very good point, to take somebody with you so that they could see and have the experience of what you're actually going through too.
Right. Well, they don't allow that anymore. When I first when I first started, you know how people that go to like a chemo or radiation treatment, they might have a recliner chair right beside their chair, so one family member could go with you back there during your treatment.
Yes,
well, that's how they used to do it when you were on dialysis. They'd have one recliner for the patient and one for a family member.
Right.
Well, when I got my kidney, I was only on dialysis for 7 months that first time when I got my transplanted kidney, and they would allow my husband would come with me or my mom would come with me. And at some point, I think the loved ones, if I go to sleep as a patient, then I know my husband or my mom would have my back, and they will ask the questions I'm not asking because I'm asleep, right? I think that offended them to an extent, because at some point they cut it out completely and they started asking the family members to wait in the lobby. So no one can go with you back there. That's another reason I want to stay awake, because I'm back there alone.
Right.
You know, I'm like, now, you know, my husband's sitting beside me. If I take a nap, then he's there.
Right.
But they put a stop to that pretty quickly. So, but one of the nurses did let me record and post on my TikTok them hooking me up to the machine, them showing the blood leaving my body and going into the machine, into the filter, and the clean blood coming back into my body. As long as I didn't show any patients there or the staff, she allowed me to record that. And different people was like, now, I've had so many people that I knew or have known that are on dialysis, and I never knew that's what it looked like or that's what the machine looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So they did let me record that, and I wish it would go back to that point where one family member could be there with the patient if they want them to be. You know, I think that would really make a difference too.
I think so.
Yeah. I think that really would make a difference. I really appreciate that time, because now that they can't go, at least, you know, my husband and mom know what that looks like, know, you know, what that experience is. They have witnessed it, you know, firsthand, so they don't have to, you know, read about anything. They are very, very clear on what it entails. They've been there through, you know, through all of this.
Yeah, because my sister made her transition back in 2010. And I know every time I went to California, you know, I would go and at least one session with her, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we talked every Wednesday, because that was my day to, you know, to keep her in conversation while she was on dialysis. So she, you know, she had a pretty good plan, and then she didn't like doing what the doctor told her anyway. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it really does make a difference to know you got people that are going to be by your side, keep you lifted up. And I'm the type of person, when I'm not feeling well, you can't just baby me. I'll become a baby all the way.
Okay.
So, you know, give me that one day if I need it. But after that, I'm going to need you to say, okay, we got to get up and get out of here. We got to keep moving. I'm not.
Yeah.
And mind you, there are some tough days, and I call them mental health days. Every now and then, you have to take a day to kind of wrap your mind back around, getting your attitude in check to deal with it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 30
mm-hmm.
years is a long time. So some days it's like, you know what, today I physically, mentally, and emotionally cannot do it today.
Okay.
But I don't allow it to linger, and my support system don't allow it to linger too many days beyond that. My husband might come in, you feeling okay? He's like, no, today not a good day. Well, you go ahead and rest. But I can't just lay around every day. Like, We need to get out and do something. And like I told you the other day, after I really started thinking about when they first told me, can you imagine being, you know, in your 20s, in the best shape of your life, and all of a sudden a doctor tell you, in the military of all places, your kidneys are failing. We're going to have to send you home because, you know, there's no cure for renal failure. There's only treatment. Dialysis and transplantation is only a treatment. There is no cure. You know what I'm saying to that.
Yeah, you see, I got quiet. So
I did. I know. I can read your energy through the phone. You know.
Like, oh, Lord.
Let me explain myself. Let me explain myself. But that was
funny.
Tough, and I'm thinking, like, what? Renal failure? I'm in the best shape of my life. You got to be kidding me. I don't know anyone in my family who have ever dealt with renal failure. Where did that come from? And so then I had to make a decision, like, well, this is just what I'm going to have to deal with. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to deal with this. But I never remember thinking, Lord, why me? Why me, Lord?
Good.
Why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
What I started thinking was, what now? What can I do now? I didn't have a plan B. Military was my plan A. I didn't have a plan B.
Wow.
So I had to come up with a plan B.
Yeah.
Quick. And sitting on that machine, taking up all my day and time, that's not going to be good enough. There has to be something else I can do.
Yeah.
You know, so I started volunteering. You know, I told you I volunteered at a battered women's shelter. I volunteered at a hospice. I volunteered at a senior citizen center. Something else. If we do for others, a lot of times that takes your pain and trouble and heartache off of you.
It does.
Because your focus is on doing something else for someone else. You know, so.
Yeah. And that's, that's what we're here for, is to be of service to each other, you know.
That's right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you always help yourself out when you operate from that perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you started off with Mary. No, you didn't.
Girl, look. Ain't
no, you did not. Go get it. So, like, okay. No, she did. She tried to get me fired up. She tried to get me pumped up.
That's right. Because I was like, you know what? She ain't a quiet person. Let's You know, yeah, man.
Wait a minute.
Hey, say, go get your blessings.
Go get it.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she did.
Don't be mad about what you done been through. Come on now.
That's right.
You got to try something different. You want something different. That's what you've been saying.
That's
what you've been telling me. So.
That's it. I'm like, no, she did not. I reached out to my husband. He fist bumped me. I'm like, she did that. She did that.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. But
well, I like how you're taking your energy and doing like a roundabout type of education, but it's still an education. So you're taking advantage of different markets, you know, like
right.
your TikTok and YouTube and things like that. To not only educate on diabetes and taking better care of your health, but then also with the Black history or the history period in your book, Freelance for Sale, and how you got that and how you approached it is just really, really awesome, you know, with the different personalities. So, and I'm saying that, you guys, because she's got young white folks, she got older white folks, she got people that don't speak too good of English, and just a real mix of individuals. And of course, they're coming with their own viewpoints and their own entitlement issues and all of that, you know. And so to have these discussions around real life, it's just very interesting. And I would encourage all of you guys to go out and support her book. And she's going to tell you in a little bit how to get the book. So make sure you do have paper and something to write with so that you can take down the information. And so, Lydia, as you go about, I see you as an educator and that you've come to use these different mediums like volunteering with folks and doing your stage plays and doing your visuals, like your videos and things like that. Is there like one central theme that you want to educate the public on, or is it just on like living a better life, dude?
Wow, that's a good question. I think it would have to be just living a better life. Whatever time you have here, you know, you hear the saying all the time, live your best life, live your best life. But that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. And if we didn't learn anything from COVID, that's something we should have learned every moment. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. That's one thing we've been talking about, my family. Like, we can't wait to Thanksgiving and Christmas to get together. It's 365 days in a year. That's two days. I know. So if you love me, we need to spend a little more time with each other other than those 2 days a year and a funeral in between.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when we're together, we should be, you know, having a good time and laughing and whatnot, but we also need to have some serious moments where we're encouraging each other to live better,
mm-hmm.
to eat better,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really try and enjoy your life while you can.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I think that's probably the main focus. I think, like you said, it's just all parlay with the dialysis stuff because that's what's important to me at this point. But attention to the politics.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to discuss the importance of not just religion, but spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to point, you know, that racism has all kinds of faces. You know,
yes.
So if you live in your best life, you don't have time for the craziness that comes with each one of those. You know, you can learn it, pay attention to it true enough, but that's not what you're going to base your movement on, your life movement on.
Mm.
You want to set some type of boundaries and have effort to show that I can do whatever I really put my mind to. And
mm-hmm.
for me, that's what this book showed me. It showed me, you know, you always hear that if I really want to do something, I can do it.
Right, right.
But then you're like, you know, hey, you know, I'm just doing something. I'm just, you know, this is just a hobby. I'm not taking it seriously. And then it's like, wait a minute, this could really be something if I really work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
It builds up your self-confidence.
If I had just sat there thinking, well, you know, I'm a dialysis patient. Who would listen to me? You know, I'm sick a lot of the time. No, I'm not claiming that. I'm going to do just fine, and I'm going to be able to talk about it. I'm going to be able to encourage people, whoever want to talk to me, like sitting in the doctor's office today, you know? We can talk. I can talk to anybody. Be willing to listen. I'm willing to listen to you. And I had a supervisor used to say all the time, you can't listen with your mouth open. So when someone's talking, telling you their journey, listen to them. And I like to pop in at the end and say, well, let me tell you about what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking like, wow, I can't believe that. Yes, it's true. It is true. And no one knows that better than my husband because he's been there the entire 30 years. He was there even before I got sick. You know?
That's so beautiful. Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Just focusing on a better life, better living.
Have you ever thought about or have you ever done, have you ever gone into the schools with your story or, you know, like your viewpoints around the dialysis and taking better care of your health and things like that? Have you, take it to the children so that they understand that they have an important part in their outcomes with their health?
No, I have not. I have not. And maybe I should consider something like that because I'm open to that if someone wanted me to. I'm open, certainly open, but I never pursued it myself. But that's a great point. If we can catch the children and the young adults, the college-age kids, to help them take it more seriously early on, maybe we could put a stop to this because these clinics are full. They are full.
And they're so popular. They're so popular in our neighborhoods, too. Mm. There's more in our neighborhoods than anybody else's.
Right. You see them popping up everywhere, don't you?
Everywhere. And you ride through the higher economic neighborhood, and you won't find one of them.
Right.
I just wonder what that's all about. So I'm going to
leave that one there. What that's about.
I'm going to leave that one right there.
And I can give you another example of that. You know, I have to go to the VA hospital for, you know, appointment sometimes, and then I have to go to the private hospitals certain times. And when I go to the hospital to give blood in the renal or even other organ transplant department, because you know you might go to the renal department, but it's also a place for pancreas and for liver transplant. They're all in the same place. And I noticed years ago. Now, when you go to the dialysis clinics, it's 6 days a week, three shifts a day, and they're full, completely packed. But when you go to the hospitals to give blood at the transplant centers or clinics, you don't see that many of us there. So we started wondering, like, how are they getting so many transplants? And then just conversations with them, you find out some of them never even started on dialysis. Once their kidneys start to fail, their doctors immediately put them on medication to help stop that process.
Wow.
Or they immediately put them on the transplant list so they bypass dialysis altogether.
Wow.
Now, my husband is a conversation magnet. We go to a place like that. I can go back and give blood and come back, and it might be two or three people sitting telling him their whole life story. And it's like, good Lord. And that's how we started finding that out. And he was like, well, that lady said she never went on dialysis, or that person said their doctor put them on medication, and they haven't been on dialysis. I'm like, what?
Wow.
How did that happen?
There's a difference of how they treat in these neighborhoods.
Right.
And we, you know, just like what you're doing, you know, explaining to people and educating people as to how you can affect a different outcome for your health if you but be actively involved in it. You know, you don't have to have this type of a diagnosis. And so I believe that's the same thing that we could do, is to fight for ourselves with different situations, what they're telling us, you know, that we experience. I know, like, for me, and I am a rebel, so I'm going to use that as my disclosure up front.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, when they tell me, you know, well, like, your blood pressure is high, I'd be like, compared to who? Are you using someone that's like me? You know, like you go to trial, your jury is composed of people that are similar, right? I forget what the right term is, but people that would best serve you to give you the right thing. So you can't compare my numbers to a European man. It just ain't going to work because
right. It's
different. So who are you comparing my numbers to, and who is my blood pressure higher than, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have frustrated so many doctors by asking those questions, you know, because like you, you know, and so it's very interesting, and I really appreciate your husband for doing that, having those discussions so that you guys can come back and say, well, you know, you don't even know that I was tripping like that, you know, but you can come back and, you know, and mm-hmm. say, well, yeah, you know, we was in the hospital and we noticed blah, 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 blah. And then, mm-hmm. then I could sit back and be like, I wasn't wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Right. So we have to give ourselves permission to think outside the box, first of all. Then that way that would get us curious to ask the questions or just to have the conversation, because a lot of times you don't even have to ask, you know.
Mm, mm-hmm.
You just sit there long enough and they'll tell you.
Right. Right. So, I mean, and it's not just renal disease. It's, you know, when my mom had cancer, started noticing similar situations there.
Yep.
So it can't be that we eat all the wrong stuff.
Yep.
And it causes us to have all the wrong and the horrible illnesses.
Yep.
It just can't be. It can't be that, because when I go in these soul food spots, we're not the only ones in there.
Okay.
So there's a whole lot of people eating the same stuff that we eat. So
exactly.
How is it that, you know, it's only affecting us? That can't be it. And another part to that whole thing is we have to utilize the social workers in these facilities. That's their
mm-hmm.
job. That's what they're there for. Even in the dialysis clinic or even in the oncology clinics, the social workers are there to provide opportunity, financing, medication, food prep programs, all kinds of things for us. But oftentimes, they don't volunteer to give us that information. If you don't ask, you don't get.
So whoever is in need of that, because I know Lydia just made that announcement for one of y'all, please take note, make note. Even if you're passing it along to a family member or a loved one, there's a reason why she just made that statement. So make a note of it.
Mm.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, while my mom was on going through chemo, we found out at the end of her treatment, after months, at the end, that there was a program that would pay for the gas for my dad to drive her back and forth to treatment.
Oh, wow.
That would provide boosts and insures and glucerners, because, you know, a lot of times when you're going through those chemo and radiation treatments, the patients don't eat like they need to, because, you know, it messes with your appetite and stuff. But they have programs that provide that for free for you. Or they will bring healthy option meals to the patient and their caregiver often. But you just have to go fill out some paperwork. It's just as simple as filling out a little paperwork. But you're there, you're being treated, and sometimes you're trying to figure it all out, and no one will come and just sit down and say, look, let me tell you what we offer. Let me tell you what we have for you to help this process be as smooth as possible for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a dietitian. I'm blessed at the clinic I'm at now, who come around every week. Look, there are some drinks you could, you know, some protein drinks you need, because oftentimes when you get your blood cleaned on dialysis, it not only cleans out all of the toxins and the poisons in your body, it also removes
some of your nutrients and your vitamins and, you know, things you need.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put that back when you, you know, when you leave treatment. So they have gift certificates. They have samples. They have all kinds of things. And there's so many programs that work with families that might be in need, transportation for families in need. And there are people that sit on the machine and don't have a clue.
Wow.
No clue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm glad that you're in there and getting the knowledge and the information and sharing it with people, you know, and what's so interesting about this interview with you, and I just love it, and that was why I told you. So just a little joke for you guys, but Lydia wanted to know, you know, like what kind of questions was I going to ask and stuff. And I was like, I don't have any questions. You know, I used to do it like that, but I don't do it anymore because that's not always indicative of what needs to come through. And so just like, so last month I had a guest who had just received notice, actually like a couple of days before he came on, that he had made the list for a transplant. And I thought that was what we were going to talk about because that was all we had talked about leading up to the show, and that was what he was initially saying he wanted support in. But he wound up talking about his dual diagnosis of the kidney failure and being HIV positive and getting both of those diagnoses on the very same day. And so he went completely in that HIV direction, and it was so powerful because there were several people that had tuned in that needed to hear that for their own well-being and things that was happening in their life. Now, with you, I thought we were going to be, like, real deep into this book and how we were going to get into a play and all of like that. And you now have taken this conversation into this education around our health and our wellness and what we should be doing to take these proactive stands. And that's what's necessary and needed in our community. Just, you know, we all find a little piece of the puzzle that's being hidden from us, and we share it with each other, and then our puzzle becomes fuller and fuller and fuller until we got all the little pieces of truth on our puzzle.
Absolutely.
So, no, this right here was absolutely necessary. Absolutely.
And you know that's your niche, Sandy. I don't know where this came from. I believe your ancestors overrode my ancestors and forced me on this part because, and I'm going to tell them a secret. You had me eating split pea, not split pea stew. What you had me eating? Chickpea? Was it chickpea? What was that?
You won't.
What was this dude?
So, look, you guys. So, Lydia and our mutual friend, Sante, came in from Afton Winder area, and they wanted to take me out to eat. So, y'all know how I eat. So, I suggested this Ethiopian restaurant.
Wow.
And I had a vegetarian combo plate, and you take injera, which is like a bread that's rolled out really, really flat, and then they roll it, and you take pieces of that, and you, like, sop up your vegetables, and that's how you eat, primarily with your hand. But they had Lydia and Sante, they have more traditional food, and Lydia was trying to be so nice, you know, and accommodating, and it got to be a little funny. So she
lentil.
Got a salad, and she got lentil stew, and it was the brown lentil because she didn't want anything that was too spicy. And the other one, was it yellow or red or something? The other one, they said, was spicy.
It was
and
red.
So, yeah, it was so funny, though, but she did good. I was proud of you, girl.
I tried it, honey. I tried
Brown lentil stew.
I'm like, lentil stew? too. I'm going to try. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and try. But it really didn't take bad. It really didn't.
I love it. So, yeah.
And so I don't know what I was going on. Lately, we've been eating, you know, a little better because my labs have been looking amazing the last couple of weeks. Everything
nice.
Has been, you know, they give us a check. Everything's in the green or in the red. But everything was in the green. I had nothing in the red, really. So
good.
I'm proud of that.
Good.
And I stay
good.
On top of my labs. I pay attention to my labs. And my drill sergeant that I live with keeps check of it.
Well, that happened to be the husband.
That's him. Like, that just happened to be, you know, a little up. You got to eat more protein, you know. You got to watch your calcium or whatever, you know. So
that's good. That's
that
good.
Makes a difference. So.
Yeah, it does.
You got to try new things. You got to try new things.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to work to get to where you are.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm a little rebel when it comes to some things, and the health is one of those things where I just go full speed. Don't tell me something going to work that's going to help me to reverse this or reverse that. I'm going to try it, and it could be extreme, but I'm going to try it, you know.
Right. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So, girl, what do you see for your future in as far as your with this health advocacy role that you're in and with your TikTok and your YouTube, where do you see your future writings? Where do you see your messages going? How can you serve in a bigger way? Have you thought about that? Are you now ready just to kind of kick back? Where are you? And what can we expect from you in your future?
I have another play that is completed at this point. And this one is focusing on self-awareness and self-esteem issues with teenagers and young adults. It's geared to them, body shaming, that kind of thing. So each piece is talking about things that I feel are relevant and important right now with what's going on in the world and everything, but they're similar but very different. And I have another one that I'm working on, and it's going to focus on relationship, the importance of communication. And there are a lot of fun characters in that one as well. So with the writing, that's where I'm going. But with the health stuff that's around my experiences on dialysis and stuff, I would love to see where God takes that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like talking to people about information and subjects around that they are not familiar with. So I do like talking about it. And it's easy to talk about because I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not coming from a textbook. I'm not a nurse. You know, I had a certificate in nursing assistant, but I'm not a nurse. So this is stuff I've lived, I walked through, I dealt with, you know, and I have the scars and stuff to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, I think that would take precedence over all the book stuff. If I could get more information out there around this issue, I would jump on it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing because people want to hear the real life story. They've heard enough from the trained medical professionals. They like, come on, we want something real. Can anybody got that for me? You know. Mm-hmm. So you guys, I know I have pushed this way down to the end of the line, but we got about 10 minutes left in the show. And I wanted to open up the lines once again. If you had any questions, comments, or anything to say to Lydia, the call-in number is 516-531-9819. If you've already dialed in or if you're about to dial in, if you want to speak live, just push 1 on your device so that we know, so we can open up your line so that you can be heard. And with that, as we're waiting on someone, if anybody is going to show, you want to explain to us how we can get in contact with you, follow you, purchase your book, your YouTube, your TikTok, all of that stuff, please.
Okay. All right. Well, my email is elburden, and that's B-U-R-D-E-N, at iCloud.com. My book is being sold on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Google Books. The different sites that we're on is YouTube, Lydia PB76, Instagram, ELBurden2022, Facebook, Lydia Pope Burden, and then TikTok is Lydia Pope Burden.
So okay, Lydia, me and you got to get together because I've been telling, people been telling me that I need to have the same tag on everything.
Really?
Yeah, because it makes it easier for people to find you. So me and you got to get together. I got all of them different ones like that, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. You but know. See, I started each one in a different.
Me
you know,
too. Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
That's why they're not all the same. But.
Yeah, mine too. But I don't think it's much of a problem to get them all be the same. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, that
but works. Yeah, you have just been so absolutely amazing. So I told you that it's the only way to let it roll because the ancestors in the spirit already got it. They already know what's going to be talked about. So all we got to do is be willing vessels.
Mm. Oh, okay. And I think the next phase, I'm going to try to open a clubhouse about these particular topics.
Awesome.
So that'll be the next step, to talk about this, but not just to talk about, you know, the books and this, but to also promote small businesses, black businesses on there for business owners. And so it's not finished yet, so it'll be ready soon.
So what type of help would you be providing business owners?
Just a networking opportunity. I want to be people to be able to tell what they do, how you can get in touch with them, that kind of stuff, and just kind of mingle one another, spread the word out one another, let them know about opportunities coming up for them. So that's kind of the thoughts that I'm having right now. It's not completed yet, but that's kind of where I'm going. You know, the place where I can talk about all of the things that are available, all the information that's available, either through, you know, Social Security office, through, you know, Medicaid or you know, stuff like that.
Oh,
like
okay.
Conversations with people about it.
And you're the perfect one to do it. I think that's an excellent idea.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Because you've done it, you know, like. You have allowed yourself to be a pure example for that. You know, like you had time and there was a vacant amount of time and you filled that up with your all the different ways that you do what you do, you know, with getting the education, then sharing the education, writing about the educating, documenting it, and putting it out there for people to be able to learn from. So, yeah, you can teach business owners a great deal about taking advantage of those situations that come to you. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, and thank you for giving me this opportunity, Reverend Sandy. Really appreciate it. You are amazing. And, you know, the things you're doing for new authors and new business owners and just different people, you know, so many different amazing people,
and
putting that information out there for all of us. I appreciate it, and I follow you on every podcast and every radio show, so because there's always a nugget in there that we can all use and we all need, and I appreciate you for doing that, for being a servant, having a servant's heart.
Thank you. I appreciate you. So Lydia has joined us on Clubhouse, and interesting enough, she's on dialysis three of the days that we're doing Clubhouse, but she's there. So she's tuned in. She's listening. Even if she's not able to share in verbally, her energy is there. And so that's what that support is all about. And that's one of those things. Surely she could help business owners, especially new business owners, understand that support and networking, how important that is. And, you know, with your book and how you were so creative in explaining and breaking down how these different audiences of people could relate to one same topic. And we know that that's true, right? Even within a same racial setting, it could still be misunderstood or interpreted differently by the various people that are in the audience. But for you to take these different personalities, these different experiences, life experiences, in the body of these different characters that you have, and showing how in human interaction what that could possibly create and present, it was very masterfully done. And I just so appreciate your talent and how you took that and created that beautiful, beautiful story, Free Land for Sale, and how sometimes, it's not written in your book, but sometimes we can take a situation and become very distracted by it, offended by it, want to badmouth it without giving it the benefit of there's different views to look at this same thing. So why are we so adamant and so angry because everyone is not thinking the same way? And I really appreciated what you said about the painful parts of all history. It's been absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. So we've got about 5 minutes left. If you had anything else, otherwise, I'm going to take us out with, I got one more Mary. Mary, what's the name of that other one I got? Let me just check and see. I got another Mary Mary for you.
Okay.
Was there anything else?
Yeah, the only other piece I just want to add, you remember I said early on that I didn't have a plan B? Remember I told you I started everything off, I only had a plan A, and that was military?
Yes, ma'am.
The lesson I've learned in a lot of this is it's not about your plan anyway.
Huh.
It's not about what you see your life, you know, being or your future. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about patiently waiting to see what God has in store for you. It's not just about, we can plan, you know, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. You've had people to go all the way through college, get those degrees, and then decide they want to be a painter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about the vision we have for ourselves. It's about us making sure that we keep our minds and hearts open for whatever God has in store for us. Because, you know, I initially started panicking, like, what? No military? It's my dream. That's what I've always wanted to do. I want to retire. I want to travel the world. That was my plan. God might see fit me to travel the world some other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just want to put that little nugget out there. Just make sure we don't worry about a plan A and a plan B. We just got a plan G.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
So that's what's most important at this point.
And you give so freely of yourself too, you know, like you're not weighed down. So I called Lydia earlier today and I was like, well, do you have any specific questions you want me to ask of you tonight? She said, well, you said we were just going to let it go by spirit. I said, well, you know, that's usually how I do it, but I'm offering you, would you like for me to ask you any particular question. She's like, no, I'm doing it the way you said to do it. So I just fell in love with that because she's so easygoing, you know, just like, no, nah, I'm good. I'm good.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, so thank you for trusting the process and thank you for being so open and coming in and sharing. And please, please continue doing the work that you're doing, especially with educating people about their health and what they can do to make a change or how they can improve the situation so that, you know, they're doing things to prevent being on dialysis and that type of situation. So thank you. I thoroughly appreciate what you're doing for everyone.
No,
everyone.
Thank you.
And your book is outstanding.
It is outstanding.
Yes, yes. Well, we're not going to prolong it, y'all. If there's no questions and everybody is satisfied, we're going to go ahead and close down for tonight. And we will be back next week. And we have Aligned for Life, the chiropractor, coming back in with some information about taking care of your spine and how that can benefit your overall health. So y'all stay tuned for next Tuesday. We've got the chiropractors, Dr. Joseph Fowler and Dr. Brandon Williams in with us. So until then, y'all be good, stay safe. I love you and know that this is all about life, love, and wellness. Appreciate you so much. See you next week. Thank you again, Lydia. Love you, love you, love you.
Thank you, too, babe.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.